Hello, bestie. Is your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated monster? It's the lady in the corner that your patient warned you about. And for today's podcast episode, it's all about Halloween. Boo! I-T-G-I-R-O. You know that I'm that girl.
Hey, bestie. It's your Halloween special episode with none other than the Slender Monster Skin Slayer Walker. Your nightmare. Your manager. Your hospital CEO. Oh.
Mic test 1, 2, 3. We are live. Oh God. There you go. We are live. Hello, bestie. You are listening to your favorite therapy podcast. I beg your pardon. Happy Halloween, my friends and family. What are you guys doing this Halloween season? Me? Working. That is the scariest thing you could ever do. Work on Halloween, baby. Because when it's the witching hour between 2 to 3, you're dead. It's either you're going to survive it till sunrise or you are not. And bestie, before we even continue, do me the biggest favor, bestie. If you're listening right now, do me a favor and download this episode and all other episodes. Make sure you follow the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Turn on notification and make sure you leave us a 5-star review. This will really help our podcast. And also, I know you guys have been asking me what kind of scrub, what brand of scrub do I wear to work? It's called Garde Malade, which is a French word for nurse. So if you ever want to support or have the same scrub that I'm wearing all in my videos and at work, it's called Garde Malade. You can go to www.gardemalade.com and you can purchase their scrubs. You can use my code NURSEJOHNGM, all caps, NURSEJOHNGM, to get a discount code. How are you, bestie? I miss you. And we are back again. How's your mental health? Have you been taking your medication? Have you been going to therapy? Have you been replying to your friends? Have you been practicing self-care as you should? Last week's episode was all about you realizing that yourself is more important than anything else, over your job, over everyone else but you. I hope you're doing well. And if you're not, bestie, I pray for you and I'm wishing you well. And listen, every single day is another day to get it. To slay it. And since you guys see me in my Slenderman costume, that is because this episode is our Halloween part 2 special of I Beg Your Pardon podcast, because you guys loved the first horror story episode. So now I'm bringing you guys the second one. So do me a favor, get settled in. Hold on to your rosary and Bible. Make sure it's not nighttime that you're listening to this, because, baby, we are going deep, deep down the hole, deep down to hell and below. I am going to be reading stories from real life nurses and healthcare workers, and some of them are Reddit stories of ghost stories, paranormal activities, and other creepy stuff that happened in the hospital. Because where else a lot of things like this paranormal stuff happens? The hospital. Where do you see the most deaths? Hospital. Where do you see the most suffering? Hospital. Where do you see a lot of kids, men in black, lady in white, walking around the halls at 2, 3 a.m.? In the hospital. So bestie, let's get into it. It is so hard to type with this Slender Man. Oh my Lord. There you go. I had to pull up all the stories here. Mm-hmm. There you go. Our first story might need a trigger warning for those who have been having a hard time to get pregnant. I am a psych nurse and was working on the acute female unit. I was about 6 weeks pregnant and hadn't told anyone at work. One of the patients who was a frequent was extremely manic this admission. During Medline pass, she kept side-eyeing me and she normally never had an issue with me. When I asked her when rounding if she needed anything, she asked me, "Are you scared?" And I said, "I'm sorry, what?" And I kid you not, she goes, "Aren't you scared about your baby? It's not safe." And I told her I was not pregnant. She didn't respond, extremely angry. "Don't lie to me, B. You have a baby in you and there is something wrong." During her stay, she would try to give me her snack or food she had saved and would remind me to drink water to try to help the baby. I ended up miscarrying 2 weeks later.
Oh my God.
Guys, I just had chills. Oh my God. Could she be the reason why you miscarried the kid? First of all, I am really sorry for your miscarriage. I know it must have been so difficult and hard, but this is so creepy. Just like, how did she know that you were pregnant when you haven't even told anyone at work? And second of all, if someone told me that, I would not even engage in any conversation or like talk to them because I already know that there is something wrong. Something wrong in a sense that, I feel like she found out that you're pregnant because she's connecting with someone else that doesn't exist in this world. Or they do exist, but in another world. Because where is she getting that information from? So that's really creepy and I'm sorry that it happened to you. Maybe it was a coincidence, but at the same time, even though it's a coincidence, like how did you miscarry the baby after she tried to feed you and try to tell you drink water because your baby's not safe? That is like creepy. Oh my God. I just have to do a sign of the cross because that's really crazy for the first story. Oh my God. Wait, I literally just heard someone breathing on my neck. You guys, stop. I'm filming this at 7 p.m. Okay, we're good. We're good. Oh my God, please. No. Whew. Okay. It's creepy. Constantly constricting my breathing. Next. I work in a nursing home as a healthcare assistant in Ireland. One night, I had to go to a different floor to get a sliding sheet when further down the corridor, I saw a resident I had worked with previously walking down the corridor. I called his name, but he didn't answer me. He continued to walk. I didn't see said resident face as he was walking away from me, but he had a very distinctive walk, so I knew straight it was him. I decided to go after him as he was a forest. He turned the corner as to go into the day room, but when I went after him, he was nowhere to be seen. I thought, where did he go? Maybe he didn't turn for the day room at all. Maybe he went straight on. I continued to look for him, but with no luck, I decided to go to the nursing station on that floor and say I saw a said resident out of bed. I went after him, but I couldn't find him. The nurse looked at me dead in the eyes and said, "Don't mess with me. He passed away on that day shift." I couldn't believe it as it was 100% sure it was him. I thought maybe I imagined it. 2 days later, I was talking to a friend that has worked that floor that night after, and she said she had saw him walking the hallways too. And she was so freaked out, we couldn't believe we had both seen him. To this day, there has been numerous staff members that have seen him walk the corridors, but he never looked at you. He is always just walking away. We have also had call bells go off in empty rooms and you'll go turn them off and then they'll go off again. It's always in the same floor, so we reckon it is him messing with us. So this is another story of apparition of someone who just died recently. And in our first Halloween episode, there was so many incidents where someone had just died, like let's say on that same day, and a bunch of other healthcare workers or people have seen them physically standing, walking, not talking, just around. And I always think that it's because they're still here because they just died, right? So their soul is still here with us where they died. So how I see it is that their soul leaves their body and their soul just stands there in the room waiting until they get some kind of blessing, some kind of prayers, some way to for them to start, you know, getting the peace they need so that they can leave this world and go to the other life. Because I do believe in purgatory, I do believe in heaven, I do believe in hell. And I think there's just a lot of soul who needs closure before they leave Earth, before they leave, you know, where they are. They need to bring some kind of sign to tell you something before they leave, because that's always the case. If there is something miss that haven't been said or haven't been done, they will always make a way to try to communicate and make sure they can express their feelings. And it's creepy because we don't want that, but at the same time, I think we just have to help them. But for me, I don't want to communicate with the dead. Like, no, I don't even want to communicate with the beings, the alive. But at the same time, no. Oh my God. Mm-mm. Next. My coworker used to work in a different emergency department. She was working one night and noticed there was a patient wearing a black leather jacket sitting in a room that no one was assigned to. She was busy at the moment but said hi to the man and that she'd be right with him. He made eye contact but didn't say anything. The nurse had to pass by triage and she mentioned that they didn't check the patient in properly since someone was sitting there but it wasn't showing on the computer system. The nurse at triage asked which room and what the patient looked like, then had a knowing smirk, said no one was in that room. So the nurse went back to check. The room was empty. After the triage, nurses told her it was a ghost of a man that died in a motorcycle accident and lots of the staff sees him around from time to time. First of all, girl, why didn't your coworker told you about the man that keeps showing up in that room? I don't like those coworkers. I'm telling you now, guys. If I started working in a unit and they didn't tell me that kids just shows up at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning and I had to figure it out myself and have to experience it, I'm quitting. Because why wouldn't you guys warn me about that? I could have prepared myself better and not have a heart attack or like a chest pain or sweat or be anxious. I do believe that, you know, a lot of ghosts do actually exist in the hospital. Why? Because a lot of hospitals are either abandoned buildings before, it was an orphanage, or something really creepy or shitty happened in that place and now it's a hospital. It's always like that. Here in Montreal, actually, one of the hospitals, they just found out that under that hospital building was a bunch of dead body, like native people's dead body, and they had to search it and had to do, like, I've heard it in the news. I don't know, please don't take my word for it, but I'm pretty sure it's that one of the hospital has a lot of like dead bodies in it, and that's just crazy to me. And you wouldn't, like, that will give you a better understanding of why would there be ghosts around, because then there are dead bodies there who needs closure. Ghosts are trying to communicate with us living because they want to say something to us. They want to bring in messages. They want to communicate. Oh my God, this Slenderman fingers are creeping me off. But yes. Oh my Lord. Yeah. Mm-mm. Not me, baby. That is crazy. I can't. Next. I work as a forensic nurse in a hospital's locked up unit. We had one older lady who swore she was being hunted and abused by a demon she would call Tiberius. So many crazy things happened while she was on the unit. We'd go into the room, do normal care, leave, and second later she starts screaming bloody murder. We'd run into the room to find her looking like she's been in a fight with a boxing champ. Bloody lip, black eye, markings all over her body. No one ever saw her doing this stuff to herself. Things would get moved around the room by themselves. At one point, she was in a protective restraints because the doctor thought she was hurting herself. There was no way she could have moved or done anything to herself while in this restraints. But new marks would always appear on her tray card, would be across the room. The room was secure, so there was no way someone else was doing this. When we ask her questions, she just say it was Tiberius. After she was discharged, we always had trouble with that room. If there was going to be a rapid response or a code, it happened in that room. One night, a guard reported lights blinking on and off, and it was that room. I'm getting creeped. I'm getting chills, you guys. Oh my God. If you're listening to this right now, I hope you're with someone because, oh my Lord. This is creepy, you guys, but I would always believe anyone when they told me that they are seeing someone or they are being hunted by a demon. I do know hallucination exists. I do know like some medication does that. I do know some, you know, when people are confused, have infection, all of this medical stuff. I'm a man of science, but also I'm a man of faith at the same time. I firmly believe that demons exist, ghosts exist. And so if someone tells me that, I do believe them, because there is nothing worse than not being believed with something that you see. And it's crazy. And I know people are going to be like, oh my God, don't feed to their hallucination. But what if they're telling the truth? Why do we always resort in they're just crazy or they're losing their head? But what if they're not? What if what they're saying is true? What if they're actually seeing demons? And again, like this story, they didn't believe her and they've seen all the evidence that proves that this lady is actually being hunted by something else that is not human. How can she hurt herself, or how can those things in the room be moved? Why didn't they move her out of that room? That is a lot for me. And it's like they let her suffer in that situation. And I'm so sorry, but like that's how it sounds like. And they should have called a priest or someone to just bless that room and get it like sprayed in by like holy water or something, because maybe there is a demon that's lurking in there and terrifying and abusing patients. And again, not a lot of people believe in this kind of things, which is fine, but like I feel like a lot of people also, they have to see it to believe it. It's like, for me, how do you know you have a brain? Okay, so let's say there's no x-ray machine, doesn't exist, or any ways to visualize the brain. Why do you think that you have a brain if you haven't seen it? You know what I mean? It's like that you don't have to see something to believe it. Sometimes like there are things that actually do exist. For me, it's always a question of like, how did we all exist in this world? How are all of these animals here, things that exist in this world here, if nobody has created it? How is there so much bad in the world if evil don't exist? You know? So for me, that is crazy. I hope though she's okay and she needs to be exercised or some stuff like that, because she must be suffering from that devil. Hi bestie, I have a creepy paranormal experience happened to as a nurse, PCT, and a patient while I work as an acute hemodialysis technician at a medical center. We had a young patient that had gone into renal failure, had severe cirrhosis and thrush so horrible in his mouth that he was constantly bleeding. The only thing keeping him alive was hemodialysis and daily blood transfusion. It was a very sad situation. Unfortunately, he passed away, which was expected. 2 days later, after he passed away, I was working in the unit that he passed away in. The PCT that day told me that they had a patient in the same room he passed away in. That night, the patient woke up in the middle demanding that she be moved from another room. She had told her bedside nurse and the PCT that she woke up to a man pounding on her window from the outside. He looked like he was screaming, but the patient could not hear him. She described the young man in detail. Oh Lord, it must have been him. Again, he's trying to communicate, but again, so I do believe though that there are good spirit and there are bad spirit. When they are disturbing or they are doing something that's causing emotional and spiritual disturbance to someone, that is a bad ghost or apparition for me. Okay, before we continue with this topic, I just want to tell you guys something. So I don't really believe in like palm readers or someone who can read like into your future. There's this one time when I was in Orlando and I was with friends and we decided that we're going to get our palm read. And, you know, it was my first time and I don't really want to do that because I'm Catholic and, you know, my faith is very strong. But at the same time, I just got curious and I got really peer pressured to do it. So I was like, you know what? Fine, let's do it. But of course, I was praying in the back of my head and I was like, okay, this is not true. I'm not going to say anything or bring in any details to the person who's going to be reading my palm. And again, the lady, like the shop was really random. Like we did not book any appointments. We didn't go there for any reason. Like there was no like known connection between us and the shop. So then we came to the shop. My two friends got their palm read, and I was already getting kind of like creeps and chills because like when she was reading them, she was asking like, can I tap into your something like spiritual group? So I was like, this is freaking bullshit. Like, what do you mean tap into my spiritual guidance, blah, blah. And I'm pretty sure they're not tapping into Jesus because they cannot be talking to Jesus. They be tapping into something else. Something else that's not good. You know what I mean? And then they started reading my friends and they started telling them things that they confirm that actually do exist. Like, for example, family situation, events that deep down to them was very personal and private and they want to forget it or they're suffering from it. But then after they tap into their spiritual something guide, she was able to bring out all of these things, which is, for me, this is stupid. And she also found out how we all met. They're like, I can smell the sea, the beach. It was party. It was a bunch of... And we're like, hell no. How the hell did she know that? Because she has no idea about us. Like, there was no connection at all. Like, there was no firsthand for her to Google me or my friends or anything like that. There's really nothing. And then she held my hand. It was my turn to have my palm read. And I was praying in my head, okay? Because I was already like getting creeps. I was praying in my head. Like, I was like, Our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name. All of this thing. Because when she asked me if she can tap into my spiritual guide, I literally was like pushing it and blocking it. I told her, sure. I was like, sure. It's like, can I tap into your spiritual guide? I was like, sure. And then in my head, I was just praying. When she was holding me, she asked me to close my eyes. She was closing her eyes. And I'm kind of opening my eyes a bit to see what's going on because I feel like she's going to get possessed or some shit. And then she started like smirking, smiling. And it looks like she's gathering so much information in her head. It's like just a bunch of information is like flowing in her mind and she's seeing everything that happened in my life. And then she started talking to me and she said like, oh my God. So first of all, you are not happy with your job. And I was working as a nurse back then. She's like, you're not happy. You're always fatigued. And I was like, God damn it. How the hell do you know that? I mean, like, do I look fatigued and whatnot? So anyways, and she's like, and you're also doing something right now in your life that really is something you enjoy and you love. It includes you dancing and taking videos of yourself. And I was like, no fucking way. I was like, you are lying to me right now. And I'm not confirming her anything. Like, I'm not responding to her because I feel like she's just trying to like say something to get me to say yes to anything. So I'm just like, okay. So I'm never like giving her a confirmation or validation that whatever she's saying is true. But in my head, I'm talking to myself and I was like, wait a damn minute. How does she know about, like, you know, me dancing, me taking videos of myself is basically TikTok. And the other one was me as a nurse and I'm fatigued. And she's like, oh, and you're... And she, again, she mentioned a bunch of things in my life that was very personal and that was very like private to me. And she asked me first if she can reveal that because my friends are around. And I was like, I'm a little scared about this. But I was like, you know what? Yeah, sure. And then I was just like, at some point, I was like, how did you know all of this stuff? And to me, it's still giving me creeps because who did she contact for her to know all of these things? Because I'm pretty sure it's a demon. I'm pretty sure it's a bunch of things that is not godly or it's not good that she contact. Because no hell, no way, that is God. Anyways, I would never get my palm read again. But I'm just saying that whatever she said was true. And it's just so accurate. And it's just, for me, it's shocking because we've never met before. It was a random shop. We picked it out of nowhere. There was no like agreement that this is the shop that we want. We're going to call them. We're going to book them. It was just so happened to that she was available to read our palms. But I'm just like, there is something wrong with this. So yeah, that's it. Going back to the story we just had, I do believe though that yes, like when someone died and they still have problems and things to be resolved and they wanted that resolved before they passed away, they would try their best to communicate even after they're dead. And that is spiritual actions, like apparitions, they're gonna be around, but it's just scary for the living, you know what I mean? Like, I know you guys are trying to communicate, but at the same time, please don't use us, like use someone else type of thing, you know? Like, if you're unlucky enough and you're the person was chosen to deal with the situation, you have to, otherwise they might hunt you down. Ooh, oh my god. Next spooky story. Many patients report seeing a little girl with a pigtail and a blue dress walking into their room. All these patients pass away within 3 days. When our patients report seeing things, ghosts in their room, we always get them to describe it. If it's a little girl, we make sure they have a code status address. It's an orthopedic floor, so lots of senior with broken hips. Yeah. And so, do you guys also believe in the Reaper? The Soul Reaper? I feel like there are entities like that who shows up to take someone from the earth. And it's either good because sometimes it's angels, sure. But then when it comes to like, let's say a little girl, a man in a black suit, a lady in white, that to me is crazy. If it's not their family, because usually when someone dies or when someone is about to die, they always see someone close to their life or someone in their family or relatives that they haven't seen or talked to before coming into them and picking them up. That happened to my grandpa, and my grandpa was seeing relatives that he had never spoken to before, but we mentioned the names to like our family, and they're like, yeah, that's like our great 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 auntie who like have died in like a car accident. And I'm just like, how is he seeing this now? And they're like, they're picking me up, they want me to go with them. And I feel like that's fine, but if it's some random, what the fuck is that movement? Okay, you guys, I'm getting I'm getting creep. I don't like this. Like, that same thing has been taking lives. You guys need a priest. You guys need to bring a priest in that hospital, in that specific unit, and get it blessed. Because that's not good. You guys should not let that happen and just act like, oh, guys, if we see a little girl, make sure everyone has a code status. That's not the solution. The solution is you need some spiritual guidance and protection for your patients, because maybe they're not ready to die and this little girl has been taking their lives. What if that's the case? You know what I mean? Oh my God. Next. I was working in a cardiology floor. We had a patient who was a little restless. It was after midnight. I heard her yelling and I went to her. She was alone in the room. I asked her what was wrong. She said, I'm scared. I asked her, of what? And then with a horrifying look on her face, she turned her head the opposite way towards the door of her room and followed something with her eyes. That is coming towards us. I'm like, girl, this is not happening. She followed that thing with her eyes up until it reaches the foot of the bed. Oh, I'm running, girl. I'm running. I'm not even going to stay there. She's going to have to deal with that herself. Then she followed it leave the room just as it came in. I whispered, there is nothing to be afraid of, and run out of the room to the nurse's station scared shitless. Girl, you should have run when she started looking somewhere else other than you, because she's actually seeing things. Honestly, I do believe when, again, like even dementia patient, Alzheimer's patient, I know sometimes it's the disease, but like, how are you going to explain the situation of like the dying people seeing relatives, which I highly believe that they are actually seeing someone close to them when they're about to pass. So why can't people with dementia or Alzheimer's believe in what they're seeing? Maybe some of them are because of the disease, but what if some of them are real? When are we going to believe they're real? Or when are we going to know? We will never know. But I think like getting some spiritual care, guidance or something will help resolve that situation, because Next story. I am a night shift nurse on a medical oncology unit. One night last October, we had a patient that was on comfort care measure only and was nearing the final stage of her life. Myself and a co-worker were changing her. Meanwhile, one of our other co-workers was admitting a patient from another unit. This will make sense later. The patient we were changing, who was previously up to dent, all of a sudden said, Who is going to tell that guy that he died? Who is going to tell him? Can I help you, sir? We looked and there was nobody in the doorway. We finished changing her, left the room, and we come to find out that the new patient our co-worker admitted had thrown a clot and died instantly. Not even 5 minutes prior, that guy our patient was seeing and talking to was the spirit of the guy who had just died.
Oh, help me. This is so scary and creepy.
Are you guys getting the creeps? Because what the hell?
How can someone see? Do you guys believe in like third eye? Because I do believe that some people were cursed to have their third eye open. I don't believe it's a gift, okay? It's not a gift to see the dead, okay? Some people call it like, it's a gift. Use it in your advance. No, it's not a gift. That shit is damn, it's a damn curse. How can you call it a gift when you're seeing the living and the dead and communicate with them? And it must be so tiring. It must be so exhausting to be dealing with the living and the dead. Just the living itself, it's so hard to deal with. Imagine the dead too. It's just so like creepy to think that there are people who can predict someone's future or what's going to happen to them. It's almost like those Final Destination movies where they see what's going to happen the next 5 minutes if they don't do something about it. And in real life too, I have had people in my life who kind of predicted many things as going to happen and have stopped it from happening. So like I have friends who always, whenever we go out, we would go to like places, right? And whenever we go to those places, there are places that they strongly believe and refuse to go to. Because they're like, I don't feel well in here. The energy here is just not it. It's just so heavy. I hear a lot of pain, suffering, and screaming. And I tell you, I believe them. I was like, that's it. We're going. We're changing the club or the restaurant. We're not going in here. Because for some reason, I do believe that some people were born with this kind of curse to be able to see death or to see the future or to see this kind of things. And it's just really creepy if you know someone who's like that, because imagine they can tell you what's going to happen to you in the next like 2-3 years. I'm like, please do not tell me what's going to happen to me. Let it just happen, because then it's going to give me so much anxiety and stress in my life if they tell me you're going to die in the next 2 years and it's going to be a car. Like, no, do not tell me that. Don't conversate with me. That's it. Friendship done. But yeah, like, I cannot do that, you guys. Next. I was working in a palliative care unit with one of my friends and I was doing a 16-hour shift because, you know, low staffing. That is the scariest thing I have ever heard. One of my patients, let's call him Mr. Smith for confidentiality, was on end-of-life treatment. He was on sedation level 4. Non-reactive to sound or stimulation. Nobody was in the room with him. Normally, when he was asking for help, he used to say, hello. I was walking in the hallway while doing my rounds, and while I was approaching in the room, the radio went on playing his favorite music. I went to turn it off since it was the middle of the night and went back to the nursing station. A couple minutes later, my friend came back from her round saying that she had to turn off the radio of Mr. Smith because it suddenly went on. We were really confused but didn't make it a big deal. While charting, we heard a familiar, hello, coming towards his room. When we went to check, he was still in bed, sedated, level 4. Now, we were all spooked. Y'all, someone is playing with you guys, and it's not your patient, but someone else who's actually probably hunting him down. And I would just suggest to leave the lights open in his room. Don't close it. If it closes by itself, don't come back in that room. I don't know, y'all, but some of you guys are experiencing some creepy paranormal stuff, and you guys have the audacity to actually go back or investigate. How? I would not even engage. I would not be anywhere closer to where it's happening. I will play like club music. They'll be disturbed, all the ghosts, but at least I'm not going to be, because baby, that's creepy. I'd rather have all my patients awake at night than have them all sleeping and somebody else is bothering and disturbing me, and it's not the living. Mm-mm. I am a CNA in Lebanon. A nurse here at my job told me about a nurse who used to work here named Bruce Zellman. He seemed normal, but he got arrested for tying a girl up in his basement at a gunpoint. I googled it because I thought she was joking. It was real. Makes you curious about the people around you. If they're even really deep down what they show you. It's like 21 Pilots said, you never know the psychopath sitting next to you. A respected nurse at my job was a psychopath and no one knew. That one is creepy. Creepy in a sense that you actually never know who you're interacting with every single day. You might be taking care of someone who's a psychopath or who was about to commit something really, really nasty or, you know, gruesome. And you were just talking to them, sitting with them, taking care of them or convert. Like, it's just crazy. And a lot of people have had that experience. And I don't know about you guys, but there was this recent story. And I am so sorry for all the families who suffered and who had their kids murdered by this nurse. I think it was in England, of a nurse who killed babies in the NICU. And in my head, I was just thinking, my head is like, how can someone do such horrifying and gruesome thing to babies? I could just never imagine. And it's just, it's creepy because imagine working with that person and thinking that they're all fine, they're okay, they're the nicest people, but you never really know who someone is until you like really get to know them in a deeper level other than just being their coworker. And it's just crazy because next thing you know, everything is in the news and you were working once with a murderer. And that's just crazy to me. Oh my God, this episode is so heavy and crazy. And there are so many stories of nurses who have done really bad things to people. That nurse who injected insulin to like saline products to kill like older patients. There's so many stories of like different nurses who are crazy, like a psychopath, a murderer, a sociopath. And it's just creepy to know, let's say that you were once working with them and thought that they are one of the best and good people. Mm-mm. Next. I am working as a TPN pharmacist 5 years ago. As I was currently preparing some sterile preparation in the anteroom, I saw a human figure reflection and knew that someone was watching me. I didn't mind being watched while performing my task, but the place of the sterile area was at the end of the central block pharmacy. Since I was curious that someone is behind me, I check who is that person supervising me. I didn't see who she is because she was walking away towards the fire exit. I knew then that it was not a real person since she was heading towards the exit. It was not only one time when I saw her, it was vivid. She was a petite woman with a curly hair and wearing a black jacket. I thought it was a former lab aide whom I say, but when I asked one of my colleagues regarding who she is, the name of the former chief pharmacist who died so many years ago was that same girl I have described. She wanted to take more shifts. Sorry, that was not appropriate, but at the same time, that was really scary. I mean, why is she still there? If she died like 5 years ago, maybe she's... Because for me, you know, if a spirit or someone's ghost is still on Earth, then they're not done here. They still have something to finish before they actually go to the light or the purgatory or somewhere else. And I don't think every one of us can help them. There are special people who are able to help them. But how can we find those people to help these beings, these entities, to get to the light? I just feel like, you know, I feel bad for them though, because they probably are stuck in that area, in that place, in here, because there is something else that needs to be done so that they can get out. But how can we figure that out? I will never use Ouija board. I don't understand people who uses Ouija board, you guys are crazy, and please do not include me in any of those. I will never use that. I will not even let anyone palm read me again, because that is crazy to me. Mm-mm. Okay, next story, and this is from a teacher. I work as an elementary teacher. I have stories since most schools are old buildings. One time I worked at a smaller school, the people working there told me there was a known ghost. I always brush those stories off. I had another teacher, let's call her Anna, working with me. We had a children on the carpet area watching something. We always found that this was the time to get things done in the classroom. It was right after lunch, so I was just sweeping. Anna was in our storage room that was in our room with a large glass window and no door. You can see and hear everything inside the storage. I was near the tables, which were nowhere near the toy shelves. I can assure you no children were near this shelf. Suddenly, one basket slid off and a shaker that was on top of the basket started to roll towards me. Anna heard it too. We just looked at each other's wide eye, her knowing children and I weren't any shelf. That's crazy. So there is really someone in there. And the best thing you guys could have done is to run for your lives. Because again, I am not going in that room and letting anything happen to me. I am not investigating. I am not going to try to figure out who pushed that basket or whatever that is. No, I'm out. That's what's going to happen. Next story. On one of my old floors I work on, we always had weird occurrence happen at night. It was a neuro step down unit. This unit had glass walls so you could chart and monitor your patient. We had a patient who had a severe stroke and was non-verbal. Feeding tube, restrained, total care, etc. They rarely had family visitors too. In the middle of the night, their call light went off. When I answered it, a woman said, "He is really hurting. He needs his pain medicine." So I walk into the room to check on him. The room is dark, nobody's in there, and the patient is sleeping. I tell his nurse what happened and I go and sit back down at the CN desk. The call light goes off again. It is his room, same voice. "Please, he is hurting." I get up and walk back to the room, same story. I tell his nurse and she gives him his pain medication through his bag and we reposition him in the bed. The call light does not go off again. It was really eerie. Strange thing happens on that floor. So that woman could either be his wife, his sister, a daughter, an auntie, or someone close to him who have died, who's been watching him while he's in the hospital. That could have been it. Because again, girl, why would you answer the call bell for the second time if you've seen the patient the first time and no lady was there, the patient was sleeping? Girl, I would not even answer this. I would take someone with me. And again, it's someone who's looking after this patient, someone who passed away, who loves this patient, who cares for this patient. Because for me too, I believe that my grandpa's watching over me. He sees me. He sees all the bad things I have done in life. I'm so sorry, grandpa. I hope you forgive me and I hope you pray for me. But yes, that could have been someone who's protecting this person. It's not a living though. Next. There is probably some medical explanation for this, but still the weirdest thing I've seen as a nurse so far. We had a very robust, confused old lady on our floor. Her room was in front of the nurse station so we could keep an eye on her and had one of our nurses aid as a sitter too. She was always fighting, kicking, trying to get out of bed, very restless and agitated. As some patient I have had before can get before death. One day, we were called into the room as her heart rate was going down and she lay still with her eyes open. It was 30, 20, then flatlined. We checked for a pulse and did not find any. She was a DNR, do not resuscitate. So we did not attempt resuscitation. We closed her eyes, prepared to get the body back and called the family. The sitter remains in there to start getting the body ready. Less than 10 minutes later, she called us back in. The old lady is at it again, hitting, kicking, trying to get out of bed. She came back to life. Honestly, we found this situation hilarious and still have never seen any patient come back like that on their own. I think she made it out of the hospital too. all I can say, girl, is because she is not meant to die yet, because she has some business to finish before she goes. She is not meant to cross the other life yet. That is probably why. But that is really creepy. I agree with you. Next, I've worked in a small family-run nursing home for 6 years as a nurse aide. It was an orphanage before it became a nursing home. And unfortunately, before being shut down, the orphanage had a history of severe abuse and neglect. Unfortunately, it's not gossip the owner herself has told us. When residents get close to death, they always seize a little girl. One of the patients is a very alert gentleman. He knew all of our names and was very alert and oriented. I was passing dinner trays and saw that he had his back turned and was talking and laughing in the corner. I knocked and asked him who he was talking to, and he chuckled and said, "This little girl came into my room. She was scared. He died 3 days later." About 6 months later, had another patient screaming about a little girl grabbing his feet and she needed to leave him alone. He died that night. She comes up over the years. It's always the same thing, that they see her and then they die. Other co-workers have had the same experience. It's very unsettling. And bestie, again, this is the same thing. If you guys have been having patient who has been seeing the same entity and they all die the next day, 2 days after, 3 days after, you guys need a priest or an exorcist or somebody else to come to the unit and get that room blessed. Because baby, we are not letting that shit go. We're not normalizing that. That is not normal. If everyone's dying after they see a little girl, what if you see the little girl next? Do you want to die? That's what I thought. So go get some help. Oh, you guys, I cannot. We got two more stories, you guys. A ward I work on once had a patient who was a psych medium as a patient. We had a bit of a laugh with her as she was on the ward for a while. She had a stroke which affected her mobility, and she would do readings for the staff, etc. from time to time. I took it all as just a bit of fun until one evening when she pressed her nurse call buzzer and told us to go check on a patient in a side room as he was dead. We went to check and sure enough found that the gentleman had died. Later on, we asked our psych patient how she had known, and she told us she had seen him coming out of his room, obviously distressed. She realized he had died and had to explain to him what had happened and help him pass over or go to the light. Now, I am not a believer, but this one gave me creeps. Oh my God. How did she know? How did she find out that this person died? Or, oh my. I still can't believe people who sees the future for someone. I'm still baffled. I'm like flabbergasted. I don't know what to say. I don't want any interaction with any kind of people like that. Please don't tell me when I'm gonna die. I will figure it out myself and I will just let it happen. Thank you. Next. I work in a pediatric hospital and had always heard that the fourth floor right outside our oncology unit was haunted. I work 3/12 normally, but would pick up overtime and pick up a night shift. I was working in the NICU, which happened to also be on the fourth floor, but on the opposite side. The oncology unit had a staircase that was a shortcut down to the cafeteria, which was on the second floor. At about 3 a.m., that's the witching hour, babe, I was ready to take a short break and wanted a cup of coffee from the cafeteria, so I decided to take the staircase. I walked through the automatic double doors and saw a kid skipping down the hall. I called out to him as I was afraid a little kid had snuck out of the patient's room. As soon as I called out to him, he turned and in the blink of an eye, totally vanished. A lot of other nurses and doc had seen the same little kid skipping in the same hallway. Of course, I chalk it up to just exhaustion and didn't really think about it much after that, but you are damn sure I didn't use that hallway at night ever again. Thank you. Because there are some people there who will still want to see that kid and see if they actually do exist. No, babe. That kid is a lost spirit. That kid is living there. I would not engage. Oh, my Lord. Okay, guys, because I love you, there's one more story for us. Oh, my Lord. This is it. Whew. I'm a psychiatrist, and during my training years, I worked for 6 months at a ward treating patients with depressive and anxiety disorders. It was an old building who had been housing psychiatric patients since the mid-1920s. On our floor, we had 13 beds and a nursing station, a living room, and a few conference rooms. One day, a few weeks in, I am interviewing a patient who, when asked about sleeping patterns, tells me she have heard a baby crying at night, waking her up. There are no babies in that hospital as the place is situated far away from housing areas and there were restricted visiting hours. Afterward, the nurse pulls me aside and tells me that the baby crying thing is not a psychotic symptom. She's very serious about this, but won't elaborate. I kind of shrug it off, as either way, it does not change the diagnostic or the treatment and forget about the experience. Around 3 months in my stay, I sit in the nurse's station and three nurses behind me are talking. One of them saying she's very active today. And the others say, really? Oh, I have not noticed. I turn around and ask them who they are talking about. They look at each other and then one of them hesitantly say, well, there is a baby here. She cries sometimes. Of course, I say no, but they just kind of shrug and smile. Not 30 seconds later, I hear it. It sounded far away, but not too far, a cry, clearly a baby's cry, sounding like it is separated from us by maybe two or three walls. I am perplexed and look at the nurses. They look at me like, I told you so. Of course, that is so funny though. The nurses are just like, well, you're going to figure out yourself. Of course, I ask about this, but they can say anything else. But this faint baby cry is there and have been there always. Since then, I heard it maybe 2-3 times a week. I told the new doctor about it, who laughed. However, a few weeks in her stay, she came to me white as a sheet and told me she heard it in their coffee break. All the nurses just kind of knew about it, and being in psychiatry, hearing that kind of stuff is not really something you brag about. I was transferred and haven't heard it since. I think about it sometimes, but I don't really know what to make of it. Okay, so that baby could have been a baby in that hospital that, again, needs closure or was probably looking for his or her mom or needs someone to take care of them. But that baby is for sure not alive. That's dead. Oh, you guys. This is a lot of like horror, creepy, paranormal stories. And like I told you, the best kind of horror stories you could ever get is from people who works in hospital, working in schools, in old buildings, because they do really exist in this kind of places. And sometimes you will be surprised that your apartment, your house was once a burial for a bunch of buddy. And I mean, like, there have been so many, you know, decades and centuries of people dying, and you just never know, you know, where you're stepping or where your house is standing. It could have been a cemetery before. You just never know. That's why you've been seeing this kind of things. But again, for my people who are a believer of God and everything, all I can say is pray, 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 and make sure you don't feed into it. And it's okay to believe to it, but just don't investigate on it, okay? If you see these kind of things, don't be curious and go back in that room and try to see if it's actually real. It's real. You're not just tired. You're not hallucinating. You are hearing something. You've just saw something. So now report it or keep it to yourself, because not everyone's going to believe you. And for the non-believers, well, I guess you're just going to have to wait until you see it yourself and, I don't know, question yourself if maybe I should be believing this kind of things, because they do exist. If good exists, and so is bad. Okay, you guys, I hope you guys are enjoying your Halloween. Please stay safe. And for all my peoples who celebrate Dia de los Muertos, I hope you guys keep remembering all your family members and loved ones who have passed away so they are not forgotten, just like in the movie Coco. I love you guys so much. And please do me the biggest favor. Download this episode. Make sure you download all other episodes. Follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. And I will see you guys again next week for another weekly therapy podcast session with your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated nurse. I love you so much, bestie. And I will see you very soon again. Mwah.